I don't remember how I got onto that, but now I don't know how to get off of it. But that's a little bit more of that broader panoramic vision of the church and its mission that we miss in our modern day.
What I like about this concept is it's not burdensome. You know, the people that has come to the church, I don't know if we really call it a church, Matt, my community, is that they don't seem to be burdened by it. Just everyone's excited. I've never seen that. You know, you know, I used to just, everyone, when we do church traditionally, it seems to be an obligation and a list that you need to tick. Mm. But right now, that concept is just part of life, and it brings people so much peace.
Mm.
So it's not because everyone's driven by shame, because if you don't do it, then, you know, something's wrong with you. It's just because they've been doing that already. And wow, like game nights, you know, like after work, we do game nights, and it brings so much joy to these people. It's not like something that they have to do. It's something that they want to do.
Mm.
You know, and I think that's what community, if you look at Acts chapter 2 and the way they do community, it's like that. It's not something that they drag their feet to. It's something that they're not running away from. It's they run into when there's problems, when there's, you know, it's a place where they, I keep coming back to this term, refuge.
Mm.
Emotional or mental or spiritual refuge. And I think that's what mission looks like.
Mm.
It's, you know, I used to, and I'm not, you know, like, jabbing, canvassing or something, but sometimes, you know, when we do evangelism, we're just guilting people to do things like, oh, if you don't, you know, some might be like on the brink of suicide, and you knock doors, so, you know, you're like so, I don't know if I'm making sense, but you're dragging your feet into something. But I've never experienced that in my experience now, bro.
Mm.
And I think, and why am I keep coming back to that? Because I want my kids, whenever I have kids in the future, to see mission and church like that.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely, man. I couldn't agree more, man. That was one of our motivating factors for church planting. My kids actually really struggled at church. They didn't like it. They didn't connect with it. They found it really irritating, and they were always complaining about it. And, you know, it's not like we were complaining about it in front of them, and then they just kind of picked up on it and started doing it. Like, they just naturally, my kids have always been very, very honest. You know, we homeschool them. They're very independent thinkers, free thinkers. They'll tell you what they think, you know, and they did not like going to conventional churches one bit. And I always struggled, you know, like I'd see, especially because I was the pastor, so I was working, so I couldn't really help out with the family. So it was Candace, my wife, usually on her own with the kids. And I always used to struggle with, like, there was like no point for her to go to church because she couldn't sit. She couldn't listen to anything. She couldn't do anything. The kids were, my kids are full of beans. They always have been. She was constantly having to get up and get down and get up and get down and, you know, take them to the library because they were being too loud in the building. And, you know, the mother's room was too tiny. So she would take them to the library and then, you know, couldn't hear the sermon. She's like, well, so what was the purpose of me coming? And, you know, some conservative people would say, well, because you're giving your kids, you know, you're giving them that exposure that they need. And it's like, they hated it. Like, their early experience of God and faith was already not good. And I grew up with this. I've seen this movie many times. I know how it ends. And so when we church planted, that was part of our motivation. It wasn't just to reach secular people. It was like, we want to reach our own kids, you know? And this week, this year, my eldest asked to be baptized. And I asked him, I didn't ask him. He just straight up said to me, he said, you know, I think if we were still going to the old churches, I wouldn't be asking to get baptized. And I said, oh, really? Why not? Are you saying that the way those churches functioned, maybe you wouldn't be interested in God? And he was like, heck no. You know? And like I said, my kids have always been very honest, and we've raised them to be critical thinkers and to, you know, independent thinkers. And I realized at that moment, like, dang, you know, and again, in missional community, it's just like, they fall in love with all the grownups that are in the group. They get to know them really well. We do life together. We have experiences together. You know, the groups are small. If they, you know, we got to 20 people and we multiplied. So now we're small again, because that's the idea, you know, you're constantly multiplying leaders. And they just love that, you know? And I want to say one more thing, because I got to go soon. So I want to say one more thing. Missional community is not church at home. A lot of people usually think church at home. And here's the difference. When you do church at home or home church, generally speaking, what that means is you take everything that you do at church on Sabbath and you translate it to your house, right? So we're going to do Sabbath school, and then we're going to have a sermon. We're going to sing some songs at the house. That's not missional community. Missional community is, how do I define it? It's vastly different because, number one, you're not recreating a traditional church in your house environment. You're not setting up chairs in rows. You don't have a podium. You know, like, I went to a house one time where, like, they literally had their chairs set up in rows in the basement, and they had a PowerPoint projector screen, and they had like a little lectern. You know, I got invited to speak, and I was like, ooh, a house church, this is going to be cool. And it was like, oh, it's just a normal church, but in a house with less people. Like, there's really no difference. That's not what missional community is. Missional community is about looking at how we can be the church every day. And when we gather on Sabbath, we really gather to recalibrate, to heal, right? Because missional living is not sexy, man. It's not romantic. It can be very painful. I've had people, you know, I recently had a friend who just, you know, worked with him for many years and discipled him for many years. And he just went really off the rails in drugs and alcohol. And just, you know, it's sad. Like, you invest in people and you disciple people, and there's moments where you feel like, oh man, we're having a breakthroughs here. And then they'll just turn around and be like, oh, I don't want anything to do with God. Forget about that. I'm going to go get smashed and, you know, and ruin my life. And it's like, it's sad. And you know, like, you gather on Sabbaths as a discipleship core just to really center yourselves and support each other. But you're living this out 24/7. And that's really what missional community is. And so the sort of as a closing thought that I would say is that, and look, there's so much more in this book, bro, like, my initial plan was let's cover every chapter. Let's talk about every chapter. Now that we're sitting here, I'm like, if we sat down for 3 hours every day for a week, we wouldn't cover every chapter.
You want to finish it? Yeah. No.
So maybe that was just not a good plan, but at least we were. I think we covered a lot though. And
yeah.
And the last thing that I would say is this, and I'd love to get your closing thoughts too. I was at a pastor's convention earlier this year. It was a group of pastors sitting. It was a Sabbath afternoon. There's about 6 or 7 of us sitting down. And one of the pastors said, oh, there's a church planting seminar on. I think I'm going to go to that. And anyone interested in coming? And one of the other pastors quickly said, dude, I've been to so many of these church planning seminars, and they're interesting and they're good, but you know what I never get? I never get steps. And like, that's what I need. I need steps, man. Like, all right, I get it. Theologically, the philosophy, it's a good idea. It's, you know, it helps grow the kingdom. Like, I've heard it all, but no one ever tells me, here's step one, here's step two, here's step three. Like, no one ever tells me the steps. I'm tired of the theory. I'm tired of the ideology. I just want steps. And I never get them. I've been to so many of them, and it's always the same. And I'm just tired of hearing the same thing. So he's like, I'm not going. And then the rest of the pastors were like, yeah, you're right. We're not going either. And like, nobody went, right? And this is the thing, and I've seen this many times. I've been to conventions. In fact, I had an elder that I worked with one time who went to a church planting convention, took time out of his busy schedule, booked a flight because he had to fly to a different city for a church planting convention where the keynote speaker had never planted a church. He was a church planting director who'd never planted a church. Now, look, I've worked with church planting directors that haven't planted churches. And I worked with one particular guy who was amazing, and he knew he hadn't planted a church, but he had like really humble heart. He was like, look, I got given this position And, you know, I haven't planted a church before, but how can I support you? How can I help? He was just an incredible person, right? So I don't mean to say that in a negative way, but in this particular scenario, this was a convention for church planters and the keynote speaker had never planted a church. It's like, come on, you guys, something here is a bit off. And again, you know, this friend of mine, this elder was saying a lot of theory, bro, a lot of theory and fluffy language about how it looks and how it works, but no steps, no wisdom. And that's one of the things I end this book on, because this book is heavy on the theology and it's heavy on challenging the bad theology and the bad systems that we have in place that keep us missionally ineffective. And I recognize that people need steps. And so toward the end of the book, there's actually a few things that I offer. I have some online schools, but, and this goes for anyone who's listening to this podcast as well, because I'm no longer a pastor who works for a particular conference. I have a coaching and consulting package now. So any conference, any local church who's like, we want to do this and we want you to walk us through the process. You can actually, at the end of the book, it's got like the QR links where you can, you know, sort of reach out for coaching or consulting. But if you just go to my website, thestorychurchproject.com, under training, you'll see the tabs for coaching and consulting. And like my vision, my passion, my desire is I want to see missional communities everywhere. And I recognize not a lot of people in our church are talking about this. And even the ones who are talking about it may not necessarily have actively done it. And so I want to actually take the wisdom that I've gained from planting missional community, from growing a missional community here in my secular city. And like, if you're a church or a conference or a pastor who's like, man, I'm really interested in this and I want like a step-by-step process, I want you to know I'm here. Like, I'm more than happy to work with your team. Obviously it's not free. Yo, I got to feed my kids. You know what I'm saying? But because I don't work for a specific conference anymore, like I'm free to coach and consult anyone. So if you're ready, if you're happy to do it, I only have like obviously limited spaces. I can't do like 10 people at once. It's too much. So it's limited spaces. But if anyone is like, hey, I would love that. I would love to like work with Pastor Marcus and actually get this going in my own church, in my own conference, then I just wanted to plug that in there and put that on blast. That you can go to thestorychurchproject.com and you can send me a message today saying, hey, I want to do this. And I'll get back to you and we can talk about the plan and the pricing and all of that. But so yeah, anyways, just wanted to say that because at the end of all of the theological and ideological stuff, we have to come back to what are the steps, right? How do we actually do this? What does it look like? The nitty gritty, the flesh and bones. And I'm really passionate about those flesh and bones and those nitty gritties. I've created a whole curriculum, whole school, whole system. And it's all designed to nurture missional communities that create disciples who make disciples. And so anyways, yeah. So that's my promo, bro. But let me know what you're thinking, Jasper. I'm going to, you know, let's move that to the side now. Let's close this out because yeah, we've talked about a lot of things here. Yeah. What are your thoughts as we wrap up?
Yeah, man. Powerful. I think that, you know, there needs to be a shift in their culture. Especially with us pastors. I don't know with you guys here in Australia, but in the Philippines, we're always after numbers. And, you know, sadly, I feel bad for our pastors where you're pressured to have a certain amount of baptisms. Mm. And, you know, in the Philippines, we have one of the growing churches in the world in Adventism. We have a lot of baptisms, but we also have, I think we're number one in loss per ratio. We lose a lot of people every year. And you see our numbers are, wow, we're 40,000. And it's been 40,000 for the past 10 years because we're losing a lot of people. And the only thing that sustains us is, you know, baptisms from crusades, two weeks, and it does not last. And there needs to be a shift in our mindset, bro. I don't know where we got this from in Adventism, where we love things grand all the time. 10,000 great controversies. You know, our speakers spoke in 10,000 people, you know. Yeah. But you will not see that in the New Testament, though there is a mega church up there during the Pentecost. Yeah. But there's a reason why it was divided. Mm-hmm. It was sent to different places. And there needs to be radical
shift. Peter Romfeld talks about that. When we read in the New Testament, thousands were added to the church that day because he did some study on that. He's like, we read that, we automatically bring our own imagination, Western imagination to it. It's like when a thousand were added to the church in one day, what that means in its context is there were a whole bunch of small groups all over the place baptizing people. There was not one giant mega church with thousands of baptisms. It was small groups. And cumulatively, it was thousands of baptisms, but it was all in small groups, man. It wasn't like some giant mega church. Anyway, sorry to interrupt. Just thought I'd throw that in.
Because they were not famous at all. They were persecuted.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so we have this idea that, oh, thousands of people, all these people, and we have this taste for the grand. I don't know why. And so I have to really take that out from my mindset, man, because I realized when I wanted to plant a church, it needs to be intimate. It needs to be personal. It needs to be authentic. I could post this on social media and I have people come, but is that what I want to do? You know, and it feels like, in, you know, honestly, maybe if you're listening to this too, and you feel like, man, how in the world do we do this? Because it feels like fighting the wind. It feels so frustrating because right now we're just starting as a group. We already hear a lot of stories from other churches that we have backslidden, your offshoots and all these things. But where do we send these young people? Mm-hmm. You know, where do we have, what do we do?
Yeah.
We can't send them to churches now because definitely they won't listen and sit down. You know, these people have tattoos. They probably get judged there too. So what do we do? But I guess to close this, I'm just happy that you ended up one of the chapters with Ezekiel.
Yes.
And I think that's very powerful. And I think that brings me hope. And amidst all these problematic systems that we face and the oppressive programs that we face every single Saturday, and that makes me I'll be very honest, can be very discouraging, you know, because you don't have really a support system.
Yeah.
But I'm really encouraged that you ended the book with that, saying that these dry bones, by God's grace, there is still hope. And these dry bones can have flesh soon.
Yeah.
You know, and so I'm really hopeful with that, Marcus, that hopefully this book will not just only be something to jab the system, like, yeah, you're doing it wrong. But hopefully it will be an opportunity for the dry bones, you know, my friends who's been in church and been just doing things out of conformity, out of shame and grief and fear, could experience what I'm experiencing now.
Yeah, yeah.
A community that I'm actually excited for.
Mm-hmm.
And this is why I'm so passionate in joining you here, because, man, I wanted that culture in the communities here in the Philippines.
Absolutely.
And I want to see, man, I tell you, I wish I could describe you to you the faces of the people that goes with our community, the glow that you see in their faces. I've never seen this in my churches.
Yeah.
And I want my young people to experience that too in my country.
Absolutely.
And so I want to thank you that this, not only this, of course, this jabs in this book about their culture, but the opportunity and the hope that these dry bones, you know, will have flesh soon too.
Absolutely.
So I think that I'm just very hopeful. I'm grateful that there's still hope, you know. It's difficult, but there's hope.
Absolutely. And this is two things that I'll say to that. Number one, we need to, it's kind of cheesy because, you know, people say it all the time, but it's so true. We need to be the change we wish to see. And here's the good news. You don't have to be a paid pastor to launch a missional community, right? I run a missional community here in Perth. The other three that are part of the R3 network are all run by everyday people who have never been in pastors. You know, one is a chaplain, the other one works in the oil and gas industry, and the other one is works in the building industry. Well, two of them are chaplains, and then the other, you know, high school chaplains, and the other one works in the building industry. And we're looking at a new community multiplying next year in a city south of where I'm at. And that one's going to be run by a guy who also was in the building industry and not a professional paid clergy at all. Like, the missional community, the way of running a missional community is so authentic and simple. Honestly, 90% of the training isn't about how to run a missional community. 90% of the training is unlearning all the nonsense that we've been conditioned by. When I multiply, when I disciple a secular person into what we're doing, the process is way shorter because I don't have to I don't have to take them through a deconstruction of all the things that are false, right? Man. Yeah, I actually had a secular person ask me. They were like, "So why do you teach these things to people? Like, because you're teaching like community and connection, and you know, making friends." And it's like, isn't that just normal? Don't people do that normally? And I had to break it to her. Like, I had to say, "Look, it pains me to say this, but the longer you're in church, oftentimes the worse you become at being an authentic human who just makes friends." You know, and so you, most of the training, you have to like unlearn, you know, but again, I just want to come back to, it's very simple. Anyone can do this. Anyone, like, I'm so serious. Anyone can do this. You don't need a special degree. The training is available online. There's some pre-recorded training that you can do for free or for low cost. And if you want to have me work personally with you as a coach or as a consultant, obviously a little bit more expensive, but obviously you'll have me there sort of in your corner working with you. But I've made that available, but I've also made just the r3network.com.au. If you go there, you can get the free school, which is all pre-recorded. Like, I just want to see this happen. I want to see this happen. And I want to see a new generation say, hey, enough of just poking at the bear and saying, here are the things we don't like. Let's be the change we wish to see. And the good news is you don't need to go to get a degree to be that change. Like, these are really simple things that you can begin applying here and now to launch these authentic missional communities that reach people in your city for the kingdom. And that's what it's all about. So yeah, man, all of that information, anything that you're looking for, thestorychurchproject.com or the r3network.com. Is it .com.au or .com? I don't remember. Check one or the other. One will work and one won't. So there you go. And you can get a copy of Hidden at thestorychurchproject.com as well. Just go to the book tab. You can also find it on Amazon. You can get it as an ebook from my website, Amazon Print, Amazon Kindle. You can get it from Ingram Spark if you want to get bulk copies at a 35% discount. So there's different options there. But man, Jasper, bro, thank you so much. This was absolutely amazing. I'm deeply honored that you took all this time to talk with me.
Bro, it's fun. It was fun.
Yeah. And I really appreciate it. And I appreciate all the incredible things that you're doing as well. So guys, if you don't know who Pastor Jasper is, hey, where can they find you online?
Just find me on Instagram, PSTR Jasper.
PSTR
Jasper. I live in Instagram. Yeah.
Right on, bro. That's the place to be. Is Facebook dead for you guys in the Philippines? It's kind of whack over here.
No. Facebook's still running. Yeah.
Oh, still running. Okay. It's kind of like hit and miss in.
Yeah.
It's not. I feel like because I have a Facebook presence established, I do pretty good. But like, if you're trying to start one from scratch now, it's a lot harder.
That's difficult. Yeah, it's difficult. Yeah. I have a good following in Facebook, but yeah, definitely my religious stuff is in Facebook, but yeah. My secular stuff and Instagram. Yeah,
your travel and all that stuff. Incredible stuff. Mm. Incredible. Mm. Yep. All right, Jasper. God bless you, man. Thank you again. You're amazing, bro.
Thank
you're
you. Amazing.
And God
dude,
bless
I apologize.
You. God
I'm
bless
so jet lagged.
Community.
But
I hope someday soon to fly to the Philippines to hang out with your mission group, bro.
Bro, it's so near. Come.
It is. It's not that far. I just yeah. Right now I have to become an Australian citizen first before I can travel. And then after.
Oh, snap.
Yeah. But that's in a month. I do my test in a month. I'm going to be an Aussie, bro. You should come for the party.
All that breaky akadaka. All that stuff you have to go to test with.
Oh, bro, come to my citizenship party, but you have to wear a mullet because it's an Aussie citizenship party. So.
Yeah, but anyways, bro, come. We would love to host you in one of our churches. You know, I just wanted to thank you for all the work that you've done. There's a lot of people. I wish you know the amount of people that you have not only challenged, but break away from the system that's oppressive enough to cage them. Now people are breaking free and they see this, whoa, you know, we could resonate, you know? Yeah, yeah. And so the context might be a little different because you're of course way too secular because Australia and Philippines are more religious,
yeah.
But there's that, you know, people resonate to it. And so keep it up, man. We appreciate you. And thank you know you're now part of the jobless pastor organization.
That's it, bro. Yeah. We should start a coalition.
Welcome to the club.
Oh, man. All
right, man.
All right, brother. God bless you, and we'll talk soon.
God bless you.